Dear congregation, we read in Psalm 92, verse 13 and verse 14, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. A work of grace has been done in the heart. There has been a planting. And therefore fruit will appear through the assistance of the Holy Spirit and continue to appear in old age if the Lord spares. The Lord makes that plain there in that psalm. Dear brethren, are we not concerned that there is fruit more and more as the years pass? And when the flesh fails, and though the flesh fails, the Spirit is willing and the graces ripen. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. And as we think again of these fruits tonight, there ought to be, as the years pass, an increase. Yet we know the power of sin and the battle we have within. But there ought to be an increase. You see, the psalmist is describing a Christian. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on Psalm 92. Nature decays, but grace thrives. Fruit, as far as nature is concerned, belongs to days of vigour. But in the garden of grace, when plants are weak in themselves, they become strong in the Lord and abound in fruit acceptable with God. Happy are they who sing this Sabbath psalm. Through the assistance of the Holy Spirit, fruit as well in old age. And as we saw last week, here in this chapter, the apostle sets forth the opposition and struggle between the flesh and the spirit, between the corrupt nature and the principle of grace, which is from the Holy Spirit. Note again verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Even we, dear brethren, experience that struggle because of indwelling sin. There's a battle. It's a good sign if we feel we're facing the battle. But we ought to be concerned if we don't sense there's a battle within our hearts, in our lives. There is a battle in the Christian's heart, a battle against the flesh. However, as we considered last time, the fruit will appear. The last week we considered the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That grace or fruit of love implanted within in the time of love by the Holy Spirit. Love to the Lord and love to the brethren. And then joy. Joy in view of God's salvation. As we see in Psalm 51 and Luke chapter 2, remember Simeon? He held the Lord in his arms and rejoiced in the Lord. Joy in view of God's salvation. Joy in view of Christ. Joy in view of him and what he has done for us. But then also joy in times of sorrow. And it's a precious thing when the Holy Spirit excites that grace of joy when we're going through a veil of sorrow. And we ourselves, we focus our eye on the Lord and we rejoice in him, though our sorrows encompass us. And then thirdly, peace. Peace that I am firstly justified. My sins are forgiven and I am accepted. What a blessing that is to know that peace, that tranquility within the soul. Yes, I am forgiven. Remember the Lord said to that woman who had come in weeping, thy sins are forgiven, and then go in peace. What a peace it is that floods the soul when we view that our sins are forgiven. And we're accepted. Accepted by a holy God because of the righteousness of Christ. Dear brethren, our peace can be disturbed. I encourage you to think often of the righteousness of Christ, because there will be a peace flowing in view of the righteousness of Christ when the Holy Spirit stirs that grace of love. We're to consider what Christ has done. He kept the law perfectly for us. He presented himself in perfect conformity to the law. Luke 1 verse 35. He kept the law perfectly for us. And then he suffered the penalty for the breach of the law in our place. Oh, to think of the righteousness of Christ and that peace would flow in our heart. But in fervour, the Lord is able to calm the soul in affliction. The Holy Spirit is able to excite this grace, and we know all will be well, looking unto the Lord as we face affliction. Remember Peter in the storm? He knew great abundance of peace within his heart when his eye was on the Lord. But when his eye was taken off of the Lord, that's when he went sinking. Oh, brethren, consider the Lord is able to bring calm to the soul. Love, joy, peace. As we think of those three fruits, is it a winter time in your soul? Or is there these fruits ripening? Since last we looked at these words last Wednesday, have you greater love towards the Lord? Have you exercised more love to the Lord since last Wednesday? Have you exercised more love to the brethren? Have you rejoiced often in Christ since I've been away? Have you known that peace in your soul? Now we think of the Holy Spirit that excites the grace. But all we have a duty to seek to exercise these graces. To love the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. And to think in a calm way of the Lord's providence and his goodness towards us. Well, let's continue on tonight, and two more this evening. Long suffering and gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. And on a future occasion, it won't be next week, but on a future occasion, we'll look at goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. Well, two fruits tonight. Firstly, long suffering, and secondly, gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, one often thinks of faith, and one often also thinks of love, joy, and peace. But let's consider these other fruits, which are not so often thought upon, but will be evident in the believer's life, and the Holy Spirit will exercise these graces. Well, first of all, long-suffering. Or forbearance, patience. Christians should be known for patience if they are really the Lord's. Yes, we consider there's a struggle. Go back to verse 17. It's not just a word, is it, to the mere professor? We know what it is to have that struggle within. But we should be known for being long-suffering and patient. Now, as we consider this subject tonight, I was thinking in the evening last night where to begin. Well, let's begin with God. And having considered God, we should every moment desire to exercise this fruit of long suffering. Well, let's begin with God. Think of God, the Holy Spirit, who puts this fruit within. Consider what he is like. He is long suffering. Let's consider our triune God. He is long-suffering. This world is still here because God is long-suffering. 1 Peter 3 verse 20. Which sometime were disobedience when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Think of that judgment that came and how the Lord was long-suffering for all those years. And we're simply told God waited. Well, there is a judgment coming, the judgment of fire. And God is long-suffering. He waited then in the days of Noah. He is waiting now. And Peter makes this plain in 2 Peter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Then verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You see, Peter makes it plain. The day is coming, the judgment day is coming. Yet God is still waiting. He is long-suffering. Dear brethren, why is this world still here? Why are we still here? Because God is long-suffering. And how long-suffering God is. So many millions tonight rebel against him. They despise his law and reject the gospel. How long-suffering God is. And how long-suffering God is to this nation. The majority of people don't want to go to church. They do not want to worship the Lord. Many in Parliament successfully push for redefining marriage. How long-suffering God is when we consider that marriage was instituted by him. How long-suffering? What has Parliament done? What has this nation done? Yet still this nation is here. Because God is long-suffering. We need to remember that, dear brethren. But all men need to be warned. There is a time. Remember those words of our Lord in Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? How often? There's the Lord, he's mourning over Jerusalem. He was long-suffering for so long. They mocked him, despised him, yet he had a great concern for them. But AD 70 came. Let men be warned. There is a limit. There is a time. How long-suffering God is to this world. How long-suffering God is towards this nation and towards this village. But let's think now how long-suffering God was and is towards us. How many years did I not believe? How many years did I hate him? There was a number of years. One may say, well, did you ever say you hated the Lord? Well, I can't remember saying it, but I did. Because the unbeliever does not have this grace of love within their heart, verse 22. So if one does not have that grace of love within their heart, though they may have natural love, they are hating Christ. How many years I hated Christ? Yet he waited, and in his amazing grace, in the time of love, he saved me. Are we not, dear brethren, thankful that he was long-suffering? What if he only waited 1 year? What if he only waited 8 years? What if he only waited 10 years? How many of us would be saved tonight? How long-suffering God was and is. He knew all my sins, my transgressions, my iniquities. He had them all on view. And he was angry with me, as we see in Psalm 7. Yet he was long-suffering. And then consider Christ. He did not give up. He was the shepherd that went after me. Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So long-suffering. He went after me until he found me. A number of years ago, there was a girl missing from the home in the village, and a number of us, including my brother-in-law, went to look for this girl. She was missing, and we looked and we looked. But after a while, the search was called off. It was getting late in the evening. Dear brethren, are we not thankful? The search was not called off. And he didn't go after us because he saw anything in us that moved him. As it were, some righteousness. No. He was long-suffering. Are we not thankful that Christ was long-suffering? We considered the Father, we considered the Son, consider now the Holy Spirit. Are we not thankful he was long-suffering? He convicted us and convicted us. And then there came a day when he showed the suitableness of Christ. Long-suffering. Are we not thankful, dear brethren? He's shown us his glory. Remember, we considered a few weeks ago, Moses desired to see the glory of the Lord. Show me thy glory. You recall that the glory of the Lord was seen in those wonderful attributes. Exodus 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Dear brethren, we've seen the glory of the Lord. Are we not thankful that we're believers tonight and we've seen it? But let me tell you, the glory of the Lord kept passing you for many years before you were converted. What glory he has shown. But let's consider further tonight. We thought how God was long-suffering towards us before we were converted. Are we not thankful that God has not changed? And he is still long-suffering. Since the Lord saved us, there's been times when we've backslid. We've gone astray. There's been times when we haven't given God the glory or the time as we should have done. There's times we've said to Christ, as we read in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 3, I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? How long-suffering the Lord's been to us. The other day I knocked on a door in Southampton and I waited. No reply. So I knocked again. I waited. No reply. And so then I left the doorstep. Christ in a spiritual way has come to the door of the heart, and at times there have been no reply. How many times have we said no to Christ? The television program's more interesting. How many times? Are we not thankful that Christ is long-suffering? How long-suffering he is. He knows all our sins. He sees us when we stray. He sees the winter times in our souls. How long-suffering he is. Think again of our Heavenly Father. We grieve him. Yet he is long-suffering. The Holy Spirit gets grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Yet we grieve him. How long-suffering he is. Just think of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's put this wonderful grace in our heart. Long-suffering. He excites it. He shows us the suitableness of Christ. He directs us in the truth, yet we sin and we backslide. How long-suffering he is. He shows us what we're to do as we read the word of God. If we fail at times, how long-suffering. And he has to guide us and teach us again. How long-suffering God is. He knows all the sins I'm going to do between tonight and glory. How long-suffering. He continues to love me. He continues to show much patience. Much patience. And he restores. Psalm 23 verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Have you ever thought of this, dear brethren? How long-suffering he is that he waits for the time to restore our souls. He sees us going off. He sees us backsliding, straying. He's long-suffering. And in his good time, he will restore our soul. Consider how long-suffering God is to you. Cannot you be long-suffering for a few days? We begin tonight by considering God. How long-suffering he is towards us. So long. How long-suffering he was to us before we were converted. And he continues to be long-suffering. Can we not be long-suffering for a few moments, a few hours, a few days? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In Colossians 3 verse 12 we read, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now we think of putting off certain things. The deeds of the flesh. We're to war against them. We're to mortify. Dear brethren, action is required. Daily we should be saying no to ourselves and to sin if we are following what the Apostle Paul instructs us. There's to be this putting off. No, I mustn't do that. I mustn't say that. I must repent of that sin and this sin. A daily work, but also in contrast, a putting on of the deeds of the new man. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Putting it on speaks of our duty, doesn't it? Exercising it. Bowels of mercy, such pity from the heart. Kindness, we'll come back to that in a moment. Humbleness of mind. Pride can so easily swell up in our souls. We need to cut it down and put on humbleness of mind. And where's the blessed place to put on humbleness of mind? It's at the feet of Jesus, isn't it? Oh, to get down there each day. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We're to be putting these things on. Now, ministers need to be long-suffering. It should be a known characteristic. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul was known for it. Every minister should be known for it. Long-suffering. Remember what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And doctrine. The minister is to take the long view as he ministers the word of God week in, week out, in season, out of season. He's to reprove, we exhort with all long suffering. There'll be those that oppose the faithful ministry of God's word. Ministers need to be long suffering under trouble. Many must suffer hardship, gossip, false accusation, comments made, criticisms land in the ear of the minister. He must be long-suffering. Ministers need to be long-suffering with their flock. When he sees the flock stray, he must be long-suffering. Yes, as we note there, there will be the word of rebuke, but he must be long-suffering. He must follow the example of the Master, the great shepherd who is long-suffering with us. When we stray, in love he rebukes, but he is long-suffering. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. How important that is. Patience is so necessary. There's so much against the work of the ministry. And patience must be in the heart as the minister views the flock. But then all believers. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Let the Holy Spirit excite these graces. But we have a duty to put on, to exercise. There's the work of the Holy Spirit, but all there is our duty. Think of sanctification. Think of the work of the sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And the Holy Spirit takes the word and he brings it to our minds and he sanctifies us. But we are to be progressing in sanctification. We're to be seeking to walk in a holy way. And when we think of long-suffering, we pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to excite this grace. But we need to be exercising what it is to be long-suffering. So important. Firstly, we need to be patient or long-suffering under trouble. Remember those words in James. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Dear brethren, the Lord is pitiful. He's full of tender mercy. And how he has helped us in affliction. Yet at times have we complained. Have we grumbled. We've heard of the patience of Job. Consider the prophets. An example of suffering, affliction and of patience. How much they suffered. Yet they were patient. How little we suffer compared to what they suffered. And also what others suffer in other parts of the world. How will we do in the swellings of Jordan? We need to pray that we might be patient when people oppose us. Patience when may some lose their jobs. I heard the other day a pastor talking to me, a certain Christian. I can't say that. I lose my job. And yet he talks to some other Christians in Iran. They're going to stand up to make known they're a Christian. And then they'll be taken off to jail. How we need to be praying. That we might be long-suffering in affliction. We have the example. You've heard of the patience of Job. How important. Patience under trouble. How often we want to get to the end of the tunnel, just when we've got into the tunnel, dear brethren. But the Lord teaches us in the school of grace that the end of the tunnel comes in His time, after we have learnt a number of lessons. And one of the lessons is being patient. Consider what Christ displayed. He was long-suffering. He was patient for so long as He suffered affliction. Patient under trouble, as we think of long-suffering. We're to put on being patient as we're suffering. But then secondly, another aspect of being long-suffering is being forbearing with others. Ephesians 4 verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. It's that aspect there, forbearing. Love will be in operation. Isn't that interesting? When we think of long-suffering, where there is the exercise of long-suffering, there will be the exercise of love. Let me read this again. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. A great aid to being patient with others is exercising love. What's implied there? If we have little exercise of love, we're going to be short, aren't we? We need to be patient. Colossians 3 verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forbearing. So important. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So these two aspects of long suffering. Patient under trouble, and secondly, forbearing with others. And the Lord wants you to be patient. And dear brethren, what lessons we learn when we are patient. You know, when I was a boy, it was hard to be patient at certain times. I used to be hungry so often, and it's hard to be patient. But I learned lessons that would do me well in later life. It's a precious lesson to be forbearing. And an aid to being forbearing is to remember that Christ was forbearing and He is forbearing with you. Be slow to anger and ready to forgive. Is that what we see in the Lord in Psalm 86? Long suffering. But then secondly, as we draw to a close tonight, gentleness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. This fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Well, from the Greek, we get the word kindness, this gentleness. Again, returning to Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, being kind, this gentleness which the apostle speaks of here. At times, bitter thoughts can arise, and you can entertain bitter thoughts towards others. You husbands here, have you ever had a bitter thought towards your wife? You wives here, have you ever had a bitter thought towards your husband? If you haven't said sorry to them or sorry to the Lord, do it tonight. And you can say sorry to the Lord now, quietly. Bitter thoughts do arise. Bitter thoughts towards other Christians. If we had bitter thoughts towards other Christians, where is this grace of gentleness? Where is this grace of meekness? One can mask their bitterness like a blackberry that isn't ready. It looks fruity, but it's not ready. It's not ripe. And if you eat that blackberry, it's bitter. Yes, you can mask your bitterness, but there can be bitter thoughts within. James 3 verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Don't glory if you've got a bitter thought. Don't glory if you're bitter with your spouse. Don't glory if you're bitter with another Christian. Don't glory. It's not something to boast at. It's something to repent of. There's to be gentleness, kindness, kind thoughts, pleasant. And the more kind and pleasant thoughts we have, the more kind and pleasant words likely are to be heard. Kind thoughts. Thoughts in our hearts as we think of someone else. They may have upset us. They may have done us harm. But haven't we seen in that Sermon on the Mount how we are to respond? We're to bless them. We're to pray for them. We're to entertain kind thoughts. But then kind words. We're to be exercising here. Kind words. Proverbs 31 verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's in her tongue. The law of kindness. We can think of the virtuous woman there. But all we who are men here tonight, the law of kindness needs to be in our tongue as well. In our tongue. So that before we speak, we're thinking of what is right. How often do we really do that? Sometimes we do, don't we? But how often before we speak, do we think of the law of kindness? Do we think of what we're to do? She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. How you speak to your spouse is so important. We all fail in our lives. We need to say sorry. Now, some couples just cannot say sorry. Just can't do it. One teaches a child to say sorry. Couples need to say sorry. There's no excuse for not saying sorry, is there, to the spouse? Kind words. Kind words to the spouse, as we see in Proverbs 31, and to others. Kind words to the brethren, even if there is a need of rebuke. It is to be done in kindness, as we see in the Psalm. Much good can be done by kind words, but much damage can be done by unkind words. Kind words. Gentle words. Kind and gentle actions. The cup of cold water. The helping hand. When one is down, you don't kick them, but you help them up. When did you last help someone up who was down? Maybe somebody in your home, somebody in the church. When did you last help them up? The sympathizing hand, the kind hand. 2 Peter 1 verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Kindness we are to show. Remember, we have been shown much kindness by the Lord. How kind the Lord has been to us. Ephesians 2 verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. What kindness has been shown to us in the coming of Christ and the life of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. What kindness! In a few moments' time, people will be thinking for a few moments of the birth of Christ. Just a story. What a manifestation, dear brethren, of the kindness of God towards us. He was long-suffering and he was kind. What kindness. Titus 3 verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. What a display of love. What a display of kindness. Consider how kind God is. Do not we want to be more like him? We want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know a little about Christ, do we not? He's so kind. So kind in his heart. So kind as he speaks to us, even when he has to rebuke us. So kind in his actions. How the Lord has dealt so kindly with us. Such a gentle way. How he's come at times to restore our souls. Such an act of kindness. He doesn't leave it too long, do we? He's long-suffering and he is kind. And are we not thankful for this? Oh, to be more like him. To be more like him in long-suffering and in kindness. When we don't exercise long-suffering, when we don't exercise kindness, the distance is getting wider between us and Christ. But when we exercise what it is, patience and kindness, the distance closes. We're a little more like Christ. Oh, that others would see more of Christ in our living. That we're following Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. May the Lord help us to concentrate hard on exercising the fruit. And pray for the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need his help. We're thinking here of the fruit of the Spirit. What a wonderful thing he implanted this within. Oh, that he would excite the grace. How we need his influence. You remember those words in John 15 verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. The Lord has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? Ye can do nothing. Not one thing. How we need the influence of his Spirit. May the Lord help us. Dear brethren, let's remember God, that he was so patient with us. And he's still so patient. Let's remember God, he was so kind. And he's so kind to us, isn't he? We've tasted that the Lord is good. Let us be more like him. And may the Holy Spirit be given more influence in our hearts. May the Lord help us, for his name's sake. Amen.